Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Okay, what's toxic, what's not, should be coming up with Dr. Gary Ginsberg. He checks in at this time during the show. He's pretty punctual, pretty reliable. We'll bring him on when we reach him, Dr. Gary Ginsberg. Check his website out, whatstoxic.com. You can do that anytime. He doesn't have to be around. Dr. Mike Akeng, you can, till Dr. Ginsberg gets here, you can talk a little bit about the connection between iodine and IQ.
Well, this was a study done in Great Britain, and it really was amazing because you wouldn't expect a developed country to have decreased IQ because of lack of iodine. But it was published in the May 22nd Lancet that even women who had just a mild iodine deficiency were more likely to give birth to babies with lower verbal IQ scores as well as lower reading ability than women who got enough. And believe it or not, this was a huge problem in Great Britain. The incidence was, if you will, in the 1,040 pregnant women from southwest England, iodine deficiency was found in an amazing number. It was over 50% had deficiency, and when it got to be a little worse than just a regular deficiency, they had an IQ in the lowest verbal quartile at age 8 when they were tested. That is, of all the kids in Great Britain, those with the ones who had mothers with a lower deficiency level, that is only a level that in fact more than, I think it was 50% of the women had in the study. They had an IQ, they were 60% more likely to have an IQ, and the average for all these women who had iodine deficiency was children had 8 IQ points lower than the average IQ for the people who had normal iodine levels. It doesn't take much. So it's one of the few reasons to say, okay, I should get salt, iodinized salt. So specifically get iodinized salt during your pregnancy. Where can you get it? Well, you can get it from a number of places. There are a number of foods with it. But obviously kelp from the sea has some, as does a lot of the foods we eat. But Gary Ginsberg's now here, so we should bring in the expert on this.
Yeah, Dr. Gary. Thanks, Mike. And one of the main places that pregnant women should turn for iodine supplementation at this critical period of brain development is through vitamins and prenatal vitamins that are specifically supplemented with iodide, which many are not. So that's what you want to look for on the label to make sure that your baby's brain development is sufficient to get into Harvard or to do whatever he wants or she wants to do in terms of their intellect. And it is surprising how little iodide does get consumed by the general public. This study out of England, which is not the kind of part of the world where we expect iodine insufficiency, found two-thirds of the women that were, out of 1,000 women, two-thirds of them were in the mild to moderate iodine deficiency category. So your average diet is no longer, can be assumed to be iodine sufficient.
So there really is a reason to have pickles. The pickles have salt with iodine on them.
Yeah. Well, that's one source, and of course, iodized salt. And we've been given so many messages about cutting down on salt consumption, and those are good messages. But especially during this critical prenatal period, it's the prenatal vitamins with iodine are important. And the other thing that it brings up is cigarette smoke, because there's a natural anti-thyroid chemical in cigarette smoke called thiocyanate, which does block iodine from doing its job. Perchlorate is an environmental chemical which could be in some parts of the country in the drinking water, and that does block iodine from doing its job. And if that's happening during pregnancy, that could certainly end up hurting the IQ and the baby's brain development.
Now, what else do you like on the list, Mike, from Dr. Ginsberg here?
Let's talk about swimming in the Charles.
It is turning into swimming season, although it's been all chilly up here in the Northeast. And, yeah, this was a surprise to me. I always think of, you know, Pete Seeger and the Hudson River and places like that that are still too contaminated. You wouldn't want to put your big dip your big toe in those kinds of water bodies that have historically received a lot of sewage outfalls, industrial releases and discharges into rivers. And so you'd say, no, I don't want to. Maybe I'll fish out of it and throw it back, but I'm not gonna do much with it. Well, there has been, since the Clean Water Act passed in 1972, it's taken some 30 or so years, but rivers have gotten a lot cleaner, to the point now where there's actual swimming meets, swimming events in places like the Hudson River, like the Potomac River in Washington, like the Charles River, which is becoming a habitat for swimmers and triathlons and things like that. So it shows, and you know, this is one of the examples I like to use, that sometimes you know, government regulation does make a huge difference in environmental quality. And this is a great example of that. Without the Clean Water Act, without requiring discharging companies and discharging sewage systems to really have the proper controls, rivers would still be cesspools. So it's that kind of regulation. It costs us a little bit more in some of the products we buy, perhaps, but it, you know, the environmental quality of places where you can actually think about swimming. And with climate change and extra hot weather, we're going to need more places to cool off. And, you know, this is where the masses live, is in places surrounding things like the Charles River. And by the way, the Charles won a very prestigious International Rivers Award in 2011 for the dramatic improvement of the river there. So I think it's a trend that can continue to happen. But again, well, one of the other things I did want to say is all the pharmaceutical concerns from sewage discharges, that probably the best time to swim in some places like this is under high flow conditions where the amount of fresh water relative to the amount of recycled water in these rivers is best. So, you know, the best time to do this is probably late spring into early summer, or in a river like the Charles, which gets a lot of natural influx. It may not be so bad, but in a place that has drought conditions, the rivers may be a higher percentage of sewage rather than natural water, and there it may not always be such a great idea. So you always want to check the local authorities, the water quality, and before you dip your toe in.
Now, when it gets hot here in Syracuse, a lot of kids go down to the city square and swim in the fountain. And the cops are, I mean,
well,
the city's, it's terrible. It's not treated.
Just bubbling up out of, you know, the pump keeps recirculating it. And it's probably chlorinated water if it's city water, so it probably at least doesn't have a lot of bacteria in it.
Well, no, I guess they're telling these kids not to go in these things. You know, babies go in, and they're telling everybody the water isn't treated. So I'm saying it's not treated. It's just coming out of these spigots, these water fountains, and kids go in there. So that can't be, you know, and the cops try to keep them out of there. But it can't be, you know, and the bums go in there and urinate in there, too. So it can't be too good, Gary.
No, I would say not. Keep your baby out of that.
Yep. Gary Ginsberg, Dr. Gary Ginsberg, What's Toxic? And what's not? He's got a great website. You should check that out too. Hey, listen, if you miss a segment, you'd like to hear a segment back, a guest, a topic, some of the regulars we have on, our guests, Dr. Ginsberg, Dr. Perry. There's never a way you ever miss a show. If you're away from home and you're on vacation or not able to get to the show, when you listen to it on your favorite radio station all across America, there's always RadioMD.com. Where all the shows are archived, and you can pick a date, you can, you know, search for topics and whatnot, and you can listen to what you missed on RadioMD.com. All right, and to reach Dr. Perry, Dr. Mike today, it's 877-711-5211 or youdocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.